Linda LaRouche is a radical thinker who runs a cult or a semi-cult. Been doing it since the late 60s, and he's based in Leesburg, Virginia, maybe, or maybe they moved from Leesburg, Virginia. He runs for president every four years. Can you look at the chat line? Okay, just write in Executive Intelligence Review Publications.
Have you ever heard of LaRouche, the French economist? They have like a group. It's called Rick. And he wrote a book on the economy.
Radical. When did he do this?
He must have written the book about 5 to 10 years ago.
Well, that's LaRouche has a big movement in France. You're probably talking about LaRouche's organization.
It was in the city. It's like an organization. They're talking about BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China.
That's what LaRouche says is the real power in the world, that alliance.
What is it exactly? Because someone tried to get me to go to it.
I mean, he's a holy office. He's on my chart. He's a great mind. He's an aspect of the Android meme. He's the dialectical part of the Android meme. Just look up Executive Intelligence, EIR Publications, EIR, capital letters, and Google it, and then start looking at the site. I mean, there's just too much that he's done.
He's all
over the world.
Oh, so this BRICS is the same thing?
Maybe. Yeah, he talks about China, Russia, Brazil, and something else. They are the
they're going to
save the world. It's the whole economy. He's been advocating it since 1975, and now he says they're doing it. I don't know if they're following his program, but he has many. I have hundreds of piles of materials that he wrote in my library.
They're trying to make a train station.
The Magyarev train, right?
I forget. It's like Russia, from Russia or China to
San Francisco. It's the Siberian. Yeah, they're trying to do all kinds of things. They're huge. LaRouche pretends that he's running big engineering projects. He's all for more hardware technologies.
But is it good to get involved in the group?
No, you just need to read the literature.
Do you think BRICS is a good organization to get involved in?
No, you go to me for LaRouche. I will explain to you LaRouche. You go read his literature, but I'll explain and update it better than LaRouche would.
Do you agree with everything he says?
I don't agree with anything he says other than his philosophy, which you can read it on Dupes. You go to LaRouche part on the first and second page.
It's more interesting when you say it.
Yeah, I'm better at it. But I made a book, and I have a lot of quotes from LaRouche, and the way he defines science is relevant. He knows the regular science is wrong. He knows there was breakthroughs in science going back to Plato and Pythagoras, and he develops it. His ideas are worth knowing on the level of mind, but we don't make too much out of mind anymore. I mean, I can go on talking for hours, but I don't believe or put too much in what I say as something that is more than entertainment. I'm just entertaining you, Lorette.
Well, he has a little BRICS group.
He has groups all over the world. He's the biggest alternative espionage network in the world. He's been building it since early 70s.
It's an espionage?
Yes.
Isn't espionage like, what is that thing called?
Yeah, whatever you call it, that's what it is. Nobody knows what espionage is anymore. It's the information environment. Look at it that way.
But if he's so wrong, why are there so many groups that they believe in him and they do all this stuff?
Well, he's a cult, and he uses cult methods to build this situation. Not a violent cult, but there's a couple of muckraker websites that say that there's been a couple of people who died in his world. I don't know if that's true or not, but LaRouche is a traditional cult, and he runs it like a cult. And we have one of our major INS, Kingi. I sent him into the cult in 2004 so he could rebuild his left hemisphere. He did it for a year. He rebuilt his left hemisphere, and then he never forgave me for doing it to him. And so he's here occasionally bugging us.
So is he like kind of like Scientology or something?
Yes, but better, more interesting. Okay, I'm looking at his website, which is LaRouche Pub, LaRouchePub.com, LaRouchePub.com. And at the title, at the top, it says Executive Intelligence Review. And then dash, LaRouche Publications. Here's the headlines for their latest very expensive weekly magazine. It says, Exposing Saudi Role in 911 Key to Stopping Global Terror. That's written by LaRouche's wife. Then they had a press conference on Stop London Saudi Terror, Declassify the 28 Pages of the 911 Report. And then another article, We Have to Sink Wall Street Right Now.
That's what they're saying. We're going to try. Yeah.
What, you got the pamphlet?
No, someone was trying to recruit me, and they gave me free pamphlets. But
yeah,
then
that's
they
what I just said.
Money.
You got a fucking plan. I said, you get a pamphlet? You go, no, somebody tried to recruit me and give me a pamphlet. Come on, that's what I just said.
Oh, no, I'm getting overwhelmed because, you know.
Listen, here is January 13. This is what your pamphlet would have said. A panel of five economists questioned the Senator Elizabeth Warren from Democrat Massachusetts at a January 8th Senate Banking Committee hearing. And it was unanimous in declaring that neither the Volcker Rule nor the entire Dodd-Dobbs, but they got Dodd, D-O-D-D, nor the entire Dodd-Frank Act has removed the too-big-to-fail danger of the Wall Street banks who brought down the economy in 2007-2008. Senator Warren responded to the panel's judgments by stating that it's time for Congress to take additional action. She is one of the prime sponsors of Senate legislation to restore a 21st century Glass-Steagall Act, C-1282, and break up these Wall Street banks. And they give you the latest best news coverage going. They're on the job. They are reading and studying and presenting what's going on right there in Washington. Of course, who gives a damn? It's a tiny old ancient world that has nothing to do with you or me.
But they say that they're stopping the war and they're trying to close Wall Street. So why is his workers, the people that work for him or volunteer, why are they so into this? Like, they believe it?
Yeah, if you're a young kid today and you can't afford university and you can't even stay your parents, you got no money, you join LaRouche, and I'm all for this. They teach you history and all this left hemisphere visual space stuff, and all you have to do is go around and hand out pamphlets every day. You might starve a bit, but they give you room and board, and you can get an education, which a lot of bright kids should get.
Oh, they give them room and board?
Yes, and I think they give them $60 a week, and they get some little place to stay, and then they go out in the streets every day and hand out pamphlets.
Oh, that's why they were trying to get money out of me.
Yeah.
Who finances that?
Well, it used to be my friends in the Vatican. They started in 66. You can read my diary entry, and you can see Licio Gelli, one of LaRouche's enemies, telling me in 66 to go get somebody in the SDS Radical Students Movement that would get infiltrated on behalf of the Vatican. And I did that, and I found Lynn LaRouche, and you'll see he's called Lynn Marcus
and
back then.
You see, many think they're working for Marx, and at the end they're working for the Pope.
Or me, that's right. It's called Tetrad Management. Remember the video we had a couple of weeks ago where the Russian guy Surkov was working all sides with an over patina of confusion? Remember that video, Roxana?
Yes, you also mentioned Tetrad Management in the translation.
Yeah, that's Tetrad Management. We can get real complex here, Loretta, and you wouldn't have a clue what we're saying, but we can keep it simple. But it's a lot more complex than the simple stuff we're saying.
But how do you know all this if they give them room and board? Like, how did you learn all this?
Well, I was instrumental in starting the cult.
You didn't start LaRouche, did you?
Yes, here, I'll go to my diary and read you the diary. I'll read you what Licio Gelli, who is the most dangerous guy, used to be. He's the guy who killed the 30-day Pope in 1978. He's still alive. He owns Tuscany, which is a leftist communist kind of area. And here's this weird guy that works with everybody, right-wing, left-wing terrorists, and he did the Pope. It's right there in Godfather 3.
What's
it's
his name?
It's Licio, L-I-C-I-O, Gelli, G-E-L-L-I. Look up on Wikipedia.
He started LaRouche?
Well, I started on his behalf. Let me read you what he said. On May 22nd, sort of a week long, I have May 22nd to May 31st, 1966, so 50 years ago, in Rome and New York. And here's the diary entry. I didn't identify him back then. Not so well-known European businessman. He was not known in 1966. Not so well-known European businessman says to me, we've got to get a hook into this student unrest that's increasing in the United States. Since their leanings are to the left, it has to be through the socialist parties. Look for someone with a grievance in those parties. I actually have. Look for someone with a grievance in there. So then it says, Bob flew into New York, and soon after perusing the radical journals for a while, he got in touch with a writer calling himself Lynn Marcus. Then it has me say, is Lynn Marcus your real name? He says, no, it's Lyndon Hermile LaRouche, Jr. What's your complaint about the Socialist Party? And LaRouche says, well, I'm a Platonist. I've made some discoveries to show that the real stream of Platonism is a story suppressed and untold. There is a technological basis for the conflict between Aristotelianism and the real Platonism. I say, I think it was Coleridge who said men were either Aristotelians or Platonists. LaRouche says, yes, and the Romantics were certainly no help to my antecedents in that century, my allies being thinkers like Humboldt and Riemann. When I was in Berlin the first week of August, Roxana took me to the William Humboldt School, and that's where we found the Fahrenheit 451 little bit of no book. And that big building, what was that, a college? Humboldt College or something?
It's the university.
Named after Humboldt. Here's LaRouche quoting Humboldt to me 50 years ago. His allies being thinkers like Humboldt and Riemann, and Riemann had a big influence on Einstein. These two guys were the real Platonists. I go, so what is your strategy? LaRouche says, I'm going to offer a night class over at Columbia University and create a cadre of students who can steer this revolution away from its present controllers who have a decidedly Aristotelian utopian bent. I said, I'm a revolutionary myself, and I have funds available for you if you can show me some results and get your plans into action. That's the end of our dialogue, and then there's a comment written by me. The rest of the conversation was drowned out by Like a Rolling Stone as Bob and LaRouche left the restaurant on West 4th Street.
So oh, so you gave him money for it?
Yes. And many years later, I met a guy at the big conference on McLuhan in March 1998. His name was Mark, and he came up to me. He says, you're the most interesting person here. I'd like to talk to you. So we talked after the conference, and it turned out that this guy, he looked at my book, and he says, you got LaRouche in here? I go, yeah, I'm the only person who does. He says, holy shit, you're right. Nobody among these radical philosophy professors, none of them have knowledge or use LaRouche. And he was impressed. And you know why he's impressed? He was the bodyguard of LaRouche in 1975. He had joined the cult way back there. Well, as he got to know me a little later, his first wife, who he met in the LaRouche cult, she was in charge of the finances. And she said to him, somebody is donating $50,000. It's coming into our accounts, and I don't know where that's coming from. And it was a constant mystery for Mark and his wife. Maybe it was his second wife. Yeah, he had a short marriage before her. But it was his first LaRouche companion wife. And so that was the first time someone in the organization said to me that they noticed this money being dropped in every week and nobody knowing where it's from. And I told him, I said, that's the Vatican. That's Licio Gelli. So he got a big insight, a lifelong mystery in his life was explained by me.
Why would you donate money to him if you don't want to be a part of it?
Look, Licio says they don't know what's going on in American society. They know the student unrest is expanding. They don't know where it's going to go unless they use psychics or Nostradamus or something. So they're saying this could take over American society. The Vatican has to have an infiltrator, someone representing the Vatican in any new movement. Just go online and read about the Jesuits. They've infiltrated everything for the last 600 years. There's all kinds of memes about how bad the Jesuits are, and they were involved in the Kennedy assassination and every else thing that happened. Well, I can't remember the guy who's an expert on that or pretends to be an expert. But here's LaRouche saying, we and the Vatican have to get someone in there. So find someone who was in the Socialist Parties, who doesn't like the Socialist Parties, and make a splinter group. And I found Lynn Marcus just by reading his writings. You can go back and read them back then. He was pissed off at the socialists. He was a member of the party, and they weren't following his ideas. So I knew that he was a frustrated, lonely guy, and we gave him something to do. And his students became the key guys at the Columbia riots. And we just played, about a month ago, McLuhan and Harley Parker, April 30th, 1968, discussing the revolution at Columbia University at their seminar in Fordham. Right there, they talk about it. And John Culkin says, Harley, if you were over there in Columbia right now, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying. And Harley says, no, John, I would be. I'd be happy to be among those students. I'd be able to think. So I could go on for fucking hours, Loretta, telling you fascinating details of all these things just on one little topic, on BRIC.
Say I joined BRICS, right? Like just for a meeting they had.
You don't have to join. You just show up. I mean, they're always looking for volunteers and people to drop in.
Right, but say I went to the meeting they invited me to. Would they try to get me to live there, too?
No. It's totally voluntary. They're not that kind of extreme cult. They would try to get you to buy some of their literature. They need the money, and you don't have to buy it. It's a volunteer cult.
Oh, it is a cult.
Well, sort of run like a cult. You can go online and read various scandals happening in the organization, and LaRouche suppressed it pretty ruthlessly and this and that. So it's sort of like a cult, but you do not get drafted into it. You do not get forced into it. I was in New York from 93 to 2008. I attended their meetings all the time. I was well known. I was the one who did the best LaRouche interview. And when I interviewed LaRouche in 2004, the woman who organized it, you know, a LaRouche cult member, told me that longtime LaRouche members were saying, who is this guy? He knows LaRouche better than we do.
It's interesting. I just was approached by LaRouche to join that little organization.
Had you ever heard of them before?
No, I met them in front of a store.
Are you from New York?
From Connecticut?
Yeah, they're in that. They're very active in New England, in that area.